is up, everybody, and welcome to Warp Point Weekly, your source for nerdy news. I'm Rob, and I'm joined by my gracious co-hosts, Jay.
Yo.
And Brent.
What up?
And this is something new that we're trying out. We're going to be pre-recording the podcast version of this. It'll still come out on Wednesdays, but it'll be going out in a better audio format as well as in the video format on YouTube.
And you can also tell we look a lot different on this one.
Yeah, this here's a little bit different of a layout. We're using a different way of recording remotely. So we'll see how this goes. We're testing it out, seeing if we're going to like it. And we might continue with it in the future. We'll see. But we have to start this out the way that we always started our weekly shows out. And that is, Jay, what have you been up to?
I've been working like always. Watching shows, working my way through as many series as I can. Need to start Sopranos over again, working on that. Gaming-wise, I've been jumping back on Destroy All Humans and Warzone a little bit whenever we play it on Wednesdays, which you can check out. We do that live now.
Yes.
And then, yeah, other than that, I've just been talking to you, trying to get this show together.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely coming. Bren? What about you? What have you been up to, bud?
I have pretty much the same. Just been working. I haven't bought anything new.
Wife still said no on that one, right?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, we went to Best Buy looking at TVs and stuff, and they didn't have the one that I wanted, which it's kind of annoying. We can talk about it in tech news and stuff. Don't really watch anything. The wife and I did watch that new Zack Snyder movie, Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
I think it's called.
The one where they're in Vegas.
Yeah. Pretty good movie. It's your usual zombie outbreak movie, though. Although they took a bit of a different spin on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil it for you guys.
I mean, it's to be expected with Zack Snyder, so.
Yeah. Not too much done in the basement or studio.
Yeah, now it's gone from basement to studio.
Yeah.
It is making its transformation.
Nerd cave / studio.
It's not even its final form.
Yeah, right?
But it's over 9,000!
I'm going to have its own special boss music playing anytime somebody walks in there.
K.O. Ken. K.O. what?
See, normally whenever you open the door, you know, it turns lights on. No, you can do it to Brendan's and it turns on like the Final Fantasy boss music.
You know, that just reminds me, eventually I'm gonna program my Alexa to be like, Alexa, turn red lights on. Play Skyrim music.
Well, you could even just macro it all together to where, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Alexa, let's game.
Alexa, it's time. Dun, 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 dun.
See, mine, I'm gonna do an intruder, you know, like a break-in alarm. You know, Alexa, break-in alarm. And then it's just all of a sudden it's going to go, all the lights are going to go red. And then let the bodies hit the floor. It's just going to start playing.
Oh, after my own Bookhart.
Actually, before all that, it's just going to go wrong house, motherfucker.
I mean, you can get Samuel L. Jackson as your Alexa voice.
Yeah, exactly. So.
That is awesome. I did not know about that.
Yeah, censored and uncensored version.
Oh, you got to go uncensored.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
The only problem is I have Google Home. I don't have Alexa. And, you know, I wonder if anybody's going to be watching this in their house. And it's just going to, we've just set off their Alexa like 35 times.
Yeah, right.
God damn it.
So, yeah, no, not a whole lot going on. Just watched the one movie with the wife and, you know, nothing new as far as collector stuff.
So, I've been playing Resident Evil.
I cannot wait to.
If it has anything to do with Lady Dimitrescu, censor yourself, yo. The internet's already too horny. Don't be giving people thoughts.
Well, we definitely have to do a spoiler cast on that.
You trying to get squished?
She throws that ass back. We're all going to get squished.
I'm loving the internet memes about it, too. Walking around with fly swatter, smacking her in the ass and running away. There was one with Peter Griffin. Runs over, smacks his ass. Runs back over, does it again. And they looped it perfectly, so it just kept going.
Two things with that, because now, Rob, since you're past that part, we can talk about it. And Jay already ruined the story for himself.
Yeah, I know. How dare I?
Yeah, I mean, there's the one part where she's chasing you, which, of course, you know, you're running through her castle.
Right.
Did you hit the glitch where her skirt flies up a little higher and then you see that she has no legs?
No, I didn't.
No. Yeah, it's pretty funny. She was chasing me through the castle, and like her, there was a glitch in the collision mechanic where her skirt went up like to her knees.
Yeah,
and you could see just her feet. She has no legs.
Oh.
And then the other one was a joke meme where Ethan's in the Duke's room in her castle where she can't go, you know, yeah, for whatever mechanic reason. And she says, you have to eventually come out, Ethan. You can't stay in there. And then she looks inside and Ethan's as fat as the Duke. And they're both sitting there eating.
Nah, he's got plenty of food. I can stay here for a while.
Yeah. I don't ever have to leave.
I like it.
Who's Rose? Like it a lot.
Yeah, who's Rose?
So that's not a name I've heard in a very long time.
Rose? Do you mean roast duck?
Careful, Brent. You're going to have Jay spitting his coffee across the room.
I haven't done a spit take in many years, so we'll see.
It was close. It was close.
Rose? You mean we got some rosemary chicken back here?
Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
The centerpiece? The centerpiece is roses? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I haven't really been watching anything. I've been working a lot. That's about it. Just been playing Resident Evil a little bit. I've read that it's a short game, but the replay value is very high.
Yeah, there's a lot of different unlockable guns and new game options. So you can basically carry the same stuff you had into, you know, another playthrough. Mercenaries mode.
Yeah.
And you have to get, like...
can unlock the lightsaber.
Yeah, I was about to say, everybody already knows about the lightsaber, so you have to get, like, S ranking or double S ranking. Like, highest ranking you get on all the mercenary levels in order to get it.
Yeah.
But. So, with that there, we're going to move right along into our news.
Yay!
Oh, Rob.
Yeah.
We were talking about her last night. It's Donna Beneviento.
Yeah. The doll maker. Like I said, she's not as hot as Lady D, but she's not too bad herself.
With or without the scar.
True.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go back through and play because I don't recall how she got her scar.
It's something lore wise, you gotta read it.
Yeah, so
I remember there's a reason, and I know that her, mutation, it goes through her face.
Yeah,
like that it makes her more deformed because of it.
All right, guys. So we asked you guys a question, and we had some decent answers come from it. This episode's community question, and I can't say that these are going to be in every episode, but we'd like to get them into at least once a month. And, you know, we really appreciate the feedback and the answers. So this episode's community's question is, what two games would you like to see a collaboration on? And first and foremost, we have our buddy Miko. And he comes in and he goes, I think we need Master Chief and Smash. We've waited for years, and Nintendo seems to be closer, and I think it would be a good collab.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree.
No.
And that came from Discord, and there'll be links to it down below or on the side wherever you're indulging in this media app.
Yes.
In the description, there'll be a link to our Discord. Our good buddy Anthony Banahasky over on Facebook says, Tomb Raider, deep in a cave, finds a blade with chains. Chills. I mean, that would be awesome. What would be even better is to see Laura trying to wield those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just a montage, like, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it, but Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, near
the end of that season. Yeah, yeah.
Just a montage of her training.
Right. Yeah.
Gonna be a montage. And even Rocky had a montage.
It's bad. My life is, you know, got South Park songs in the back of my head, like, right, all times, just ready to go between SpongeBob and South Park.
Bro, my head is filled with pop culture references.
For some reason, I was thinking that that was from Team America.
Yeah, I mean, same South Park creators, I should say.
I don't mean it, I don't know if that's what it's from or not, but that for I was just thinking that's what it's from.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we have the time age old classic coming from Billy that he would love to see Tomb Raider mixed with Uncharted. Which, ooh. I mean, honestly, yeah.
Well, hold on. Are we talking PlayStation 1 Tomb Raider or the new one?
Let's say new one.
Because, boy, here's what came to my mind when I thought of this. Uncharted is hide behind cover and shoot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did we do for combat in the original Tomb Raider? We just jumped and flipped around.
Hey, you know what we did for the original combat?
Hmm.
Let you roll! Which, if you had joined us last Wednesday, you would have seen Brendan doing that while we were playing.
Oh, Horses. God. Every time. Just
we're like, well, me and Jerry are like, all right.
Where are we going to drop?
And there he is. He's like, I don't even have a parachute. Who needs that shit? And he's just at the back of the plane.
Oh, you got to keep it fun like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's all I thought of. The PlayStation 1 Lara Croft just back flipping around right over any cover that Nathan Drake's hiding behind. Mm-hmm. But what prompted this conversation was 2 weeks ago when Rob started his Final Fantasy Friday stream. Him and I were discussing, you know, how they could do a Final Fantasy X collab with Final Fantasy XIV. And how there's similarities between the main characters and the jobs, which there is with all Final Fantasy games. A lot of it's just a lot of carryover.
Right.
You know, black mage, white mage, a knight with more guard abilities, and, you know.
Yeah.
Blue mage, dragoon, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting for that. And you could join us on Final Fantasy Fridays for that stuff. But I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think of some other like interesting game collaborations. But I mean, those are pretty much the popular ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I tried thinking of every blend I can think of, but every time I think of a blend, I'm like, wait, this game has this and this game has it. Like I was sitting there like Max Payne bullet time with Zelda. I'm like, wait, Zelda even did that.
Well, I mean, I think that this question was more like just which characters would you have liked to see intertwined into other series?
Yeah.
I want to see Doomguy in Halo.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, I could see that.
Doomguy. I don't think Master Chief will last.
No.
It's just Doomguy running around blowing up all the tanks and ships.
With his hands at that.
Yeah.
Just his bare hands.
Gap closer with a punch to the face.
Chainsaw comes out of nowhere. Bunch of ammo falls out. I can't fight this dude. He never reloads.
So, yeah, I mean, if you guys still have want to answer that question, again, you can join any of our socials, and it'll be in there.
And then we'll hype the hell out of your comment, like, thank you so much. Right. We are gracious. So yeah, another one, sir. Another comment.
So, yeah, you guys can join our socials, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, Twitch. You know, pretty much we're everywhere.
Yeah.
And again, links will be in descriptions for those. So, going on to news, and this is one that kind of shocked me because of who it is. BlizzCon 2021 has been canceled.
No red shirt guy for the year. Again. No,
Winnie the Pooh.
I am not surprised at all.
Oh, I am. I'm surprised they didn't try making it a digital event where they tried charging people $35 to be able to access the content. And then if you actually wanted to watch the interviews, it was an extra $5, you know. This is all coming from Tencent, so.
Oh, without a doubt.
I'm surprised that they didn't do that. So this is the second year in a row that BlizzCon has been canceled due to pandemic reasons. The company, however, has said that they are planning on hosting a global event set for early next year.
And let me tell you, you know how many people this pisses off that wanted news about Diablo 4, Diablo 2 remaster, Overwatch 2? They got a lot of shit and a lot of irons in the well right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Rob and I said the same thing about Sony for the whole year before the launch of the PS5.
I still don't get it.
Well, what's funny, too, is BlizzCon is trying to cite that it's an epic and complex affair. You did it digital last year, and it was just fine. Didn't. Oh, they didn't do digital?
No, they didn't do BlizzCon last year.
Well, either. What did they do recently where, like, they literally dropped news for pretty much everything, and you could, like, go and tab into what you're interested in and then skip, like, if there was Overwatch news and you only cared about Diablo or...
Look. It's plain and simple. They saved themselves the time and money from either having to do a digital event or an even in-person event. They still get to keep the hype going for their game because, as you said, Jay, two of them are staple franchises that people love.
Yeah.
Diablo 2 Remaster and Diablo 4.
Yeah.
The Diablo franchise is more than enough hype, albeit people aren't going to be very happy about it. But the hype will still be there for it, and they don't have to put out the money.
I mean, yeah.
Nor do they have to sit through the hassle of doing an online event.
I mean, I was pretty much on board that I was going to get Diablo 4 as soon as it comes out anyways, because I love Diablo. Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This hasn't deterred you from buying the game at all.
No, but I still don't really like dealing with Blizzard, I'll be honest. I hate that my Call of Duty is integrated into an Activision launcher with Blizzard.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to be happy about putting that money down on the counter. You might slam it down a little bit.
Virtual counter. I mean, everything's...
Yeah, virtual counter. Nobody really does.
Well, it's like you get a statue of Diablo. I mean...
Only idiots like me still buy physical media games.
As I look behind me at my 100-plus physical copies of games.
I mean... Yeah. You can't really see, but there's some special edition stuff on there, too. Like, I have a Cade 6 just chilling.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jay, what you were talking about, it was called BlizzCon Line.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And that took place in February.
Was it that soon? I thought it was, like, a little bit longer.
Yeah, no. The global event for next year will comprise an online show like the BlizzCon Line that took place in February and smaller in-person gatherings. The company says they will reveal more about that in the future. So basically, they hit us with the Sony, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
We're going to have a weather check. It's just going to be Blizzard news.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, and did they say, I think they were aiming towards more February, weren't they?
They just said early next year.
Okay, then it must have been something else I was reading.
Probably. So if you guys, you know, want more information, stay tuned to us and we will drop it as it comes.
Phrasing. Boom.
Is that still a thing? Are we still phrasing? Are we still phrasing?
Phrasing?
Hey, are we still phrasing?
Yeah.
But as soon as we get Con 2022 news or any type of news like that, definitely put it in the program.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So keeping on with the con.
Yeah, so I'll take this one.
All right. Rob.
So E3 2021, they have added 15 more companies that will be a part of the all-digital event that they have going. So the 15 additional companies that they now have are Razer, Intellivision, Eureka Studio, Tastemakers, NetEase 24 Entertainment, Norton Gaming, Gulikit, and SK Telecom. Six independent game developers have also been added to the list, including Burgos Games, Dream Tech, Ghost Street Games, Hooded Horse, The Sixth Hammer, New Blood Interactive. Now, I mean, everybody's heard of Razer.
Yeah.
I've heard Intellivision. They sound like, I want to say they were more of a, I'll have to look into them, but I believe they're a game company. But these other ones I haven't heard of.
I mean, Telecom, that's a connection company. Norton Gaming, I don't know if that has anything to do with Norton Antivirus.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Let's do a quick search real quick, because we can do that on the fly.
Right.
So, Intellivision Entertainment. Yeah.
Intellivision is from Mattel.
Norton 360 for gamers.
Oh, okay.
It's antivirus for gaming.
Yeah. And Intellivision is a home video console released by Mattel Electronics.
Wait, what?
From, like,
the
70s.
Yeah. Okay, this could be an interesting lineup.
But they're still making stuff, though.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's going to be an interesting lineup.
Welcome to the family. I don't know. I don't know how I like it. I'd have to look at it and see more about it.
Right.
Eureka Studios Tastemaker sounds familiar, too.
So, I mean, but we can look into these companies and talk about it a little bit on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also news that apparently Nintendo is making the Pro.
That's why.
So I don't know if it's true, but it is a rumor that they're going to end up showing it off at E3.
Well, actually, we have some news down below about that, too.
Yeah.
That the rumors are going to come before E3 now.
Not really.
So we can move the list around a little bit. So they're saying registration for E3 2021 opens to the general public on June 3rd. A fully programming schedule for the 4-day event is expected to be released in early June. So in a couple days, we should be getting some news. Is it a physical thing, Rob, or is it an all digital event?
E3 is all digital.
Okay, so I don't know, unless they're going behind some kind of paywall or...
No, so the registration, it gives you access to an app that you can watch stuff on your mobile device.
Direct E3 coverage.
You get email updates and stuff like that. And then you can go, hey, I attended E3. I think they send you like a digital badge that like you can download and print out and...
Oh my God. See, yeah, so you can sit there and go, I attended E3 from my couch.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, myself included, I have it hanging on a wall from when we were at PAX, our PAX badges and everything.
Yeah, but that was amazing, dude. Like, we were there.
Yeah, but I mean, there's people that have gone to E3 since they've been able to go to E3. So now they can say, hey, look, I actually registered, because they did it last year, too. I've registered for E3 for the past 10 years. You know what I mean? They got to keep that streak alive, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a little bit about the Tastemakers. The reason I thought it sounded familiar. Yeah, they're the ones that do like the Infinity cabinet, the arcade and cabinets, the Polaroid photo booth cabinets.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that's why I knew that they sounded familiar.
Are you sure it's not going to be a general admission event then, from what it's sounding like?
Yeah.
Sounds like they got booths coming up.
No, it's all digital. E3 is all digital.
Gotcha.
And the programming schedule will come early June. And I believe it's taking place the middle of June. Because, as we reported last week, a little bit when we were touching on it, Xbox's summer showcase is June 13th, which is right in the middle of E3.
Nice.
Hey, there could be reason behind it.
Well, there's a bunch of companies that I think are going to do it, and I think Sony's going to do it too.
Yeah, I'm not too hopeful with Sony. I mean, for the last couple of years, they've been passing on all these events.
Yeah.
Just so they can unveil their own thing by telling us to, you know, please stay tuned. Although we do have Integrate coming soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on a little bit.
So I wanted to go out of order with the list because we talked about E3 and now with how Nintendo's been doing this, and it's pretty smart. Nintendo will be revealing the Switch Pro soon.
Right.
And it's a history with them. They did it with the 3DS and they did it with the Wii. They go a month or two before E3. So that way the companies that they're working with, well, game developers that they're working with, can still have that spotlight at E3 to showcase their new games for their new console.
Right.
For Nintendo's new console. Which is a pretty smart move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a great marketing decision.
You keep the developers happy by allowing them that spotlight at E3. And you, with the consumer, you give them a little more time to put money aside, you know, or whatever. Because with this new Switch Pro that they're coming out with, they're going to phase out the original Switch console.
I wonder if there's going to be an upgrade program for that. And from what I heard, too, it's going to be compatible with the dock itself.
So, I've heard the opposite. Well, yeah, no. I've heard that it's only going to be docked.
Well, I've heard that it's going to have a 1080 screen because they're switching it up with an LG screen, a new LG screen.
So, the thing that I was reading was that there's actually going to go into a new regular Switch. And then they're going to have three iterations of the console. You're going to have your Switch Lite, which is handheld only. You're going to have your Switch Pro, which is docked only.
And then your regular Switch,
which is the hybrid between the two.
Hmm.
Yeah, but they said they're phasing out the regular Switch.
Yeah, for the new Switch.
Yeah, they're going to stop production on the classic Switch.
Yeah, you know, like they do with the 3DS. And then all of a sudden, hey, look, we're phasing out the 3DS, and you have
the
3DS.
Yeah.
Sony does it with the PlayStation 2. They phased out the OG 4 with the Slim and the Pro.
Yeah.
They just completely killed console development.
Now, I think they still make parts, so for warranty claims and things of that nature.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, yeah, they you can't do that.
As for full like console production, yeah, they put an end to that. There's no money in it because everybody's going to want the newer, bigger thing.
Yeah.
And resale market is still a market, so.
Right.
Yeah. And Nintendo's going to be at E3, right?
Yeah, so Nintendo's going to be at E3, but it has yet to be formally dated. And its current slot is set towards the end of E3.
Okay. So, well, because people are still waiting on news for Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah.
And in this article that from Eurogamer, they say the long, long awaited Metroid Prime 4. But we also have what is the HD remake of the Zelda game they're doing?
That Skyward was on Sword. The
Wii. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was on the Wii U, I think. No, it was Wii. It had the motion enhanced shit you had to buy for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the motion plus add-on.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, too, though, that's going to be interesting with this whole thing. I lost my train of thought, so this is getting edited.
It's okay. Take two.
I have no fucking clue where I was going with that.
Do you remember what the... Was it about Zelda?
Yeah, yeah. So another game that, you know, I'm interested to see, because the way that they normally do it with the consoles is you get one per console, is the next Mario. You know, we haven't had a Mario game since 2016, 2017.
I mean, we probably won't.
I don't know. Like,
but think about it. When did they release another Mario game on the N64 besides for Mario 64, which is like a launch title?
You normally only get one per console.
Yeah, so we're probably not going to get another one until they remake a new console.
I don't know, because there's a lot of people that are, you know, is what, Odyssey, I think, was the one for...
Yeah, but if it is an actual, like, upgrade where, you know, the processor and everything else can handle more power...
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's what they're saying, because they want to be able, you know, to do, the rumors are, a 4K version of the original Breath of the Wild.
I mean, they're going to have to, because the way that PlayStation and Xbox have their things, that's the only thing Nintendo's lacking, is they just don't have the power.
But you know what? I mean, short of the 64, they never were graphically advanced.
No, and that's a good thing, too, is the developers figured out how to make games around that.
Right.
I mean, you might have had a GameCube port of a PlayStation game, and it might not have been as nice, but it's still played.
Right.
And in some cases, don't play Charlie's Angels, trust me.
I had no plans on it.
It'll make you hate your life. You're like, why am I doing this?
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. While we are talking about Nintendo, though, this is something that I didn't put in the document, but we can talk about real quick. Nintendo did have dual announcements for the Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl in November. Plus, the Pokemon Legends Arceus in January 2022.
Yeah, day after my birthday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the actual date of it, but it'll
28th.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, how that all plays into fruition.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping it's better than Sword and Shield. Not that I minded Pokemon Sword and Shield, but there was a lot of reused assets, a lot of, you know, this was supposed to be the big Pokemon game on consoles finally, and it didn't really feel as big as, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, and Rob and I talked about it a little over a year ago, right before the game came out. You know, they announced they, you know, because it was on a console Pokemon game, now there's going to be a lot more room. They're going to add a lot more Pokemon. And then they just went through and they started hacking at that list as we got closer to the release of the game.
And I mean, the thing is, like, you know, but at the time, I think we said that there was over 700 different Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I understand you can't have them all. But at the same time, like, they had, what, 250 out of them?
And I'm not necessarily upset about that list, but, you know, we're in a different region. Yes, you know, some Pokemon aren't going to make the travel, like a lot of bipedal and, you know, horse type Pokemon, four legged, two legged. They're not going to swim across an ocean to get to somewhere. They might jump on a Lapras, but that means like a couple at a time.
But, you know, they touted it at first, like, oh, yeah, we're going to have all this. You see this? We're going to have all this. And then as it went on, we're like, well, no, we're just going to keep, we're going to cut that list and that. And that we're just gonna keep
you guys. You like Gen 2 starters? They didn't make the cut,
right? So now that's the thing with Arceus, or however you want to pronounce
it. Arceus.
And I think, didn't they reintroduce some of them behind the expansions? Pokemon Home.
Well, yeah. they introduced some of them. They did Galarian versions of the three legendary birds on top of being able to get the original Kanto legendary birds.
Yeah.
And then they have this battle dungeon area where like pretty much every legendary is in the game. But again, like I can't, I don't think Typhlosion's in it yet. And that's my OG.
Right. But like with Arceus, I know that they're saying that you're going to have a mix of starter Pokemon.
Well, it's the first ever Pokemon game canonically. Like this right. is this before is, everything.
Yeah. This is, you know, you're going to be creating the first ever Pokedex basically. And it's going to be set in Diamond and Pearl region of Sinnoh.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where Arceus was, so.
Right.
So it's an ancient Sinnoh, more or less. More feudism.
Right, yeah.
Than how Sinnoh was, which I think Sinnoh was Europe. It wasn't European. It might have been European because Sword and Shield were British by nature.
Right. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where that all plays out. It'll be interesting to see because it looks like it's more of an RPG-based game.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't have regular Pokeballs. You have, like, these, the original, Pokeballs. Yeah, the original, like, prototype Pokeball.
And in some of the stuff that I've seen, you know, they were, like, sneaking through tall grass to sneak up onto Pokemon.
Really? Yeah, it seems like the battle aspect might be different. It seems like it's going to play more like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Which I'm all right with because, like, again, as a big Pokemon fan, this is Pokemon lore, and this is, like, ancient Pokemon lore, essentially.
Right.
You know, this is shit that we have to read, you know, character dialogue or in-game book, which is, like, four lines, and have to proceed from there. Trust me, there's a lot of Pokemon lore, but you have to go through the Pokedex, you gotta go through, like, every line of dialogue.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Well, for example, Gold and Silver hinted that your rival was Giovanni's son.
Yeah.
Well, in Heart Gold and Silver, he is actually Giovanni's son.
Oh, see, I haven't played Heart Gold.
Spoiler for like a fucking 20-year-old game, I guess.
No, I don't really care. Like, I don't have any plans on going to play it.
I mean, good luck finding a DS or a 3DS to play it.
I thought they hashed it onto the Switch.
I don't think so.
And
which game?
I mean,
Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
If I really wanted to, there's other ways.
Arg.
Well, I mean, it's not illegal if you go buy a copy of the game.
Yeah.
So,
but those sites are illegal.
I know.
Oh my god.
We're not here getting into legalities, people.
So, talk about another game that I linked.
If you have Heart Gold, you could be rich. they're selling for between 20 and 25 grand on eBay.
Jesus. Shoes.
Is it in a box?
Yeah, in the box.
I don't care then. I just give me the cartridge. I'm not paying that much for a game.
So another game that I link closely to Nintendo, even though it's from Square Enix, is we have an official announcement for a loosely kept secret of Dragon Quest XII, The Flames of Fate. The revealing of the game came at the end of a brief live stream that was marking the 35th anniversary for Dragon Quest. And it's been confirmed that it's a simultaneously worldwide launch, but we don't have any actual release date. There was no trailer or teaser, just a logo.
Yeah. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Now, I'm not going to lie, dude. Dragon Quest XI was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play the full game?
I did. I do. I haven't beat it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the demo that they released alone was 11 hours.
You could do it in 8 if you, like, speed ran it.
What is what's 11 on?
Everything.
Everything? Switch 2?
Yeah, cool. I know it's on Switch because that's where I played the demo.
Okay, I was about to say, like, if it's on Switch, I might pick it up, just play Dragon Quest again. I haven't played Dragon Quest since, like, the original, or not the original, but the PlayStation 2 one.
Yeah.
What is, I have
7 or 8?
I think so, I think it was, like, 8.
Is it Dragon Quest? I think I have 2 and 3 of. On the Vita. On the Vita.
Oh. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was Dragon Quest 8 that I played.
We knew that, you know, there was a Dragon Quest 12 coming whenever the series creator, Yoji Yohei, I know I pronounced that wrong, but whatever, put out a New Year's message and said that he's been making preparations on it. Now, it's going to include, or Dragon Quest 12 was one of several games revealed during the stream, including a Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D remake. So they're going to be redoing the Dragon Quest 3 in a Octopath Traveler style.
You know what? I saw that, and it got me a little excited.
Dude, I'm like, yes. Yes.
Octopath is an awesome game.
I'm so glad you finally picked that up. Like I said, there's a lot of traveling, or a lot of grinding to it, but it's such a great JRPG.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, any JRPG has grinding.
Well, yeah. that should be like, that's like one of the requirements of a JRPG.
Yeah.
If you're not doing 20 hours worth of grinding,
it's you're not playing JRPG. It. Yeah.
So continuing on with game news, we had the Horizon Forbidden West State of Play. Now, you know, you could have watched the whole 5-hour intro to...
Oh, my God. Why? Why did they need to do that?
That was 4.5 hours of a countdown and then some just, like, pre-recorded bullshit videos for 30 minutes. And then the actual State of Play went live.
Dumb.
Dumb.
Why? Okay, look, I can understand stream countdowns, especially since, you know, we stream and there's some sharing involved.
I get it. I get it.
Also, yeah, we stream.
Yeah, I mean, even a company like Sony, okay, even if you do like an hour countdown, have the countdown going on in the corner, and then you can talk about some things, do some gameplay, maybe talk to the developer about what it was like.
Yeah, pre-interview shit, and then like,
yeah,
it should be 30 minutes.
Because the...
Like I said, I can get it. I get the whole idea of building up hype.
But 5 hours of a countdown, dude.
Like I said, it would have been different if they would have turned it into like an all-day event.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Here's some stuff from the original Horizon. Here's some stuff from this. Oh, hey, look, we're going to have a gaming tournament for whatever game. You know what I mean? So they turned it into an actual event. All right, cool. But this was a Thursday State of Play that the literal thing went from noon until 5. It wasn't even a pre-show. It was literally a countdown from noon till 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some things that we did learn from the actual presentation, you know, we found that they gave us almost 15 minutes of actual gameplay. We didn't get an actual release date, but we do know that the game is set 6 months after the original game. Now we know that Erend is back. We know that they go into San Francisco. And we've seen that there's upgraded tools. We've seen that there's, you know, new ways of playing, new abilities. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, they said they were going to make the spear more usable.
Yeah.
Because that thing served no purpose in the original game.
Well, you know, we know that they showed the pole caster, which is like her hookshot thing.
Yeah.
It showed the shield wing, which is her glider. A divining mask, which is so that she can like breathe underwater. And her focus ability is also getting an upgrade that it shows like where you can free climb and do other things, and it's giving you the ability to override more machines for more mounts or combat.
Now, that's really cool. I like that, considering it sounds like they're going to make this even more open world.
Yeah. And the thing about it, too, that is really cool with, like, you know, all these things getting upgrades, it falls in line with the lore and the story.
Because, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
You know, yeah. And she goes on, you know, stuff that was harder to do in the original. You know, she's been doing it for years now, so it's easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for months, not years, but, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that far into the story, but.
You know.
Yeah, no, they said 6 months.
6 months. But we do know that it will be cross-gen, so that PS4 players will be able to play it, unlike the Final Fantasy VII Integrate.
Ooh.
Oh, stop. They made it timed.
We don't know that yet. We don't know what the details are on that. So, yeah, I mean, it looks beautiful. I'm thoroughly excited for this game because I loved the first one.
I still need to play it.
Dude, I'm telling you, you should. It's great. The storyline, the gameplay, everything about it is amazing.
Yeah, and I like post-apocalyptic games, so it's right up my alley. Speaking of,
right?
Can I take this one?
Yeah, I was letting you roll with that, bud.
Oh, we finally got news of Dying Light 2. We get, well, it actually has like a subtitle now, Dying Light 2, Stay Human.
Right, the actual name of the game.
Well, it's kind of like Dying Light originally was like Stay Alive or something like that. I can't remember the catchphrase, even though I played it for over 200 plus hours.
Yeah,
I mean, on PC alone, I haven't beat the game, and I got 40 hours of gameplay time into it. And I haven't gone into follow-up, and that's another, like, 20-something. So, we finally got a release date of December 7th of 2021, which means it's coming this year to Xbox, for both the Xboxes, 1 and X, both the PlayStations 4 and 5, and PC. Sorry, Switch. But they showed off a gameplay demo. It looks amazing. They actually did the event on a 35-minute video where they were interviewing people. They had somebody from the community come in, and then they actually had the voice of Aiden Caldwell, the new main character, into the interview or doing interviews and such. So it was really nice. They went into more details about how days and nights are going to work a little bit different now. During, you know, the original Dying Light, yeah, night was worse, but there were still a lot of zombies during the day.
Yeah.
Now they kind of draw that back because, I mean, these zombies have been living for 20 plus years. They can't stand the sun anymore. So it's kind of like an I Am Legend type thing. Like, you'll still have some in the city streets, but at night they just swarm out.
Yeah.
And then showed off new infected, new things, the virals, the people that are infected instantly. So the way, you know, the Haran virus works is you get bit, you turn into a viral before you turn into a biter. And biters are your typical slow-moving zombies, and virals are your fast, aggressive, I'm going to smack the shit out of you zombies. But yeah, so lore-wise, Dying Light...
COVID-19 happened. No.
Yeah, pretty much. But lore-wise, Dying Light 1 happens. They contain the virus in Haran. It doesn't escape Haran. They take the medicine, or they take the virus, and they move it to a secure lab. It leaks from secure lab like 5 years later after the first Dying Light. So this is like 15 years after the apocalypse and 20 years after the original game. And they're like, you don't have to play Dying Light 1. There's a lot of nods and, you know, lore to it, but you don't have to play Dying Light 1 for the actual main story of Dying Light 2. It just shows you how it happened, more or less.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited. The freaking statue's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And it lights up.
Yeah, it's a UV light. That's what I like about it. Because it fits lore-wise with, you know, they don't like UV light. That's one of their protective measures against the undead. But I mean, Dying Light 1 kind of revitalized the zombie franchise. I mean, it was drying out well before Dying Light 2 came out. People were already facing zombie fatigue, so
right.
At this point, I'm pretty excited for this. I'm hoping for something good, and they don't drop the bomb.
Well, see, if you didn't pre-order the collector's edition, you're screwed because it's already sold out.
Is it? Yeah, I figured. I guarantee you, it was scalpers.
Oh, you know it is.
One for me, five for the internet.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But we're also seeing they also announced during the presentation that Dying Light 1 is getting a Platinum Edition with every single piece of paid DLC in existence.
Oh, like a definitive edition.
Yeah, so it's got, you know, the original game, the following, and then there's bundles you can buy, and some came with the Enhanced Edition when they re-released that had both games and one single, or both DLCs. I'm going to say both games, because there was another, like, 20 to 30 hours of content on the following.
It wasn't. Really?
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think the story was kind of short, but there was so much shit you could do on the side that, you know, it made up for it. Plus a little secret Easter egg ending where you literally find keys to a nuke and just blow up Huron.
Now, I do have to say, like, I love this steelbook.
Yeah, the steelbook looks nice. With Aiden on one side and a Volatile on another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the deluxe edition does come with the steelbook, so Bren, you'll probably be able to get that from Best Buy.
Yeah.
Listen, if Best Buy keeps doing what they're doing with these new game releases, where they have the game and then they throw in a steelbook for free, I'll keep buying games from them.
And if you, like, I went to Dying Light's actual website, and it says retail editions available soon. So you can't even pre-order them yet. So you can only pre-order digital.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easier. You basically get the key and wait for the game to come out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the new Yakuza game, I basically got two steelbooks.
Yeah. One thing that I'm excited for with Dying Light 2 is the way that the factions are.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and they say, like, your first playthrough, you only do, like, 50% of the shit that you can do.
Well, yeah, because, like, depending on what you do for one faction, it depends on where your story goes.
Yeah.
So, like, doing something for one faction might cancel out the ability to do something from another faction.
Yeah, and the way it seems like one of them is going to be a more militarized, totalitarian group that's not necessarily evil, but questionable.
Right, yeah.
You have your, and that's how you get, like, traps in your area, or in a certain part of the map.
Right.
And then if you decide to, like, save people, like, called the saviors, you get, like, trampolines and zip lines and all sorts of movability abilities to get through for survival.
Yeah.
So you have, like, combat and you have survival. And then you have the renegades, which apparently are going to be your evil faction. You know, if you just want to make everything all banded out, you can just do that.
I fuck shits up.
Yeah. And I can only imagine how the bad ending is for Aiden. I'm calling it out. If the bad ending for Aiden is he's going to die. Because that's how they've usually been doing the bad endings, a.k.a. Right. Rockstar. I mean, they had two different endings where he died. One where he gets stabbed, and the other where he just dies peacefully or just dies.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, that is... not last but least. Wow.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say that was the last game we had.
The last game we had. So now we're going to move on to a little bit of movie news. And I'm fucking stoked for it because it is my favorite villain in the whole... I can't say MCU, but it my favorite Spider-Man villain. We have the casting for Kraven the Hunter. And we're actually bringing back an MCU veteran, I don't know if you want to call it, but Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to play Kraven the Hunter for Sony Pictures.
Which, yeah, I find it funny that not that long ago, he was Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, really?
That's yeah. And he did the two Kick-Ass movies.
Yeah, I mean, can I be honest though?
Mm.
So has what's his name? Played Rogers.
Chris Evans
played Johnny the Human Torch, Johnny, and then he played
Captain America.
See,
yeah.
The only thing with that though, like,
it's because licensing.
Well, that was like, I don't want to say separate from the MCU, but it was separate.
It was 20th Century Fox. Same with the X-Men.
This here, he did Quicksilver in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. So there might be, like, if they plan on doing a extended Spideyverse, like what we're hearing rumors are, and it's been conflicting back and forth now, that, you know, No Way Home is supposed to be. I don't know.
The origin story of Kraven.
Well, if he's playing Kraven, like, I mean, he's the same, like, I don't know. It'll be weird to see how they're going to do it.
I mean, I hope he buffs out. Because Kraven was a big buff hunter.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You could tell, like, going back to the first Kick-Ass movie, the scrawny little kid that he was, and then even...
Even in Kick-Ass 2, he was actually, like, built like a dude, because he went from, like, teenager when that movie first came out to finally, like, 20-something years old.
Yeah. And he was actually lean. And then...
And even in Ultron, he was buff. I mean, Quicksilver was pretty buff compared to what he's usually been.
But this picture now, like, he looks like he's got some guns on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the hair I can agree with. The kind of pompadour, you know, undercut. With a beard, mm-hmm. You give him maybe a little bit more bushier of a beard, give him the iconic mustache. And then, I mean, if he gets ripped, I mean, honestly, probably should have been someone like on the scale of Vin Diesel and Batista on buffness. Because, I mean, again, Kraven's always been walking muscles. He's a hunter. He's fought lions, tigers, bears, and Spider-Man.
In this article, they say that the vest he wears is the head and mane of a lion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before, I don't think they had it in the animated show, but they definitely had the chest was a lion.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes through, if they're going to try to. But this opens up the path for them to do a Sinister Six movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that fucking excites me.
Well, aren't they having the same guy who played Doc Ock returning as Doc Ock?
There is word of that, but you're forgetting one key thing here with keeping this Spider-Verse going. The deal has to keep working between Sony and Disney.
Well, and so Rob, hold on. I got to say something real quick.
Yeah.
I respect that Kraven's your favorite, but he holds nothing on Doc Ock. Doc Ock is the quintessential villain. If you're thinking, I mean, it's either him or Green Goblin. Just on the amount of shit that they've done to Spider-Man. I mean, Doc Ock was in Peter's body for a while.
I mean, I believe me, I get it. I do. I think what it is for me for Kraven is the fact that, you know, I feel like he's been underappreciated.
Oh, yeah. Same with Rhino. They just make look stupid.
I mean, if you look at the comics, Kraven did a lot in the comics to Spidey.
Mm-hmm.
And
on a physical sense.
Well, yeah.
I don't think he did too much psychological damage to Spider-Man.
I think he did.
There was some dark Kraven the Hunter issues,
yeah. Whenever he's hunting Aunt May and he's hunting like MJ and all this shit,
yeah.
And then when he completely fucks him up, you know, like
didn't he kill one of like the main Spider-Man cast for a little bit?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, like with comics, is it's just like
that. No one ever dies. Yeah. Well, hey, that's why Kraven. Hey, Quicksilver got reborn.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't ask why. Don't question that Kraven's actually older than Quicksilver, but
yeah,
right. Yeah.
But like I said, this opens the door in the path to the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Which we've already began, pretty much.
I mean, they had Mysterio on.
We have Mysterio. We have Goblin, Green Goblin. Now we're getting Kraven. We need, was it Scorpion?
Scorpion, Doc Ock, Electro.
It depends on which version you go.
I know.
Because
yeah, but this, like we said, they have the possibility there to go either way. I know the Sinister Six has lost and gained different members over the years.
I feel like they're going to pull a freaking Suicide Squad. They're going to have Kraven the Hunter movie. They're going to have, well, so far that. So that, maybe Doc Ock appears in the next Spider-Man. So that sets him up. And then the next characters are just going to throw him off like fodder, like Boomerang was in Suicide Squad. I mean, it's just going to be like Killer Croc. They're going to do the same exact intro that they did for Killer Croc for Rhino. Oh, he's just a big guy. Okay, that's all of his backstory. Well, never mind the fact that they have rich backstories. He's actually melted to the suit.
Well, see, if they go with the first Sinister Six, it's Doc Ock, Electro, Kraven, Mysterio, Sandman, and Vulture.
Oh, they already have Vulture.
Yeah, they already have Vulture.
That's what I was thinking of, not Green Goblin, Vulture.
Well, Green Goblin was in a later...
Yeah, and that's when Scorpion came in and...
Yeah. So, I mean, with that there... We pretty much have everything already set up.
Yeah.
I mean, even whenever...
Well, they're talking about Into the Spider-Verse, so that brings in Jamie Foxx's Electro, that brings in Doc Ock from...
Exactly.
...the Raimi-verse, that brings in Sandman from the Raimi-verse, because he's still alive.
You got Mysterio as Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, and then you have Vulture as Michael Keaton. I mean, there's the Sinister Six movie right there. They already have it casted because Doc Ock is coming back. That's been confirmed.
Yeah.
Can they bring in the dude that played in Sandman? Because, I mean, he didn't do a bad role. I mean, the Raimi-verse was kind of convoluted anyways because they tried to push too many things out there. But I didn't think his Sandman was bad. I actually, felt for his character in that.
Right. So that's what I mean is, we pretty much already have it all set up and then it just needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially, we have... the Venom movies. And if we wanted to, we could go with that incarnation of the Sinister Six, which was Sandman, Electro, Kraven, Mysterio, Venom, and Vulture.
I really, really hope Spider-Man comes in for Carnage. I hope they keep it tight. Because what I think is if he's in the movie, the reason why you're not hearing anything is because Tom Holland ruined part of the Avengers. Hey, you need to keep your mouth shut, dude.
it kind of ruined part of Spider-Man, too.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
You talk too much.
But, I mean, if they did the fifth incarnation of it, they wouldn't need Sandman.
Yeah.
Because then you got Venom.
Yeah, but Venom, they are pushing Venom anti-hero hard. He's not a villain. They've never made him a villain now. He's always been anti-hero.
Yeah, but that could all change. That's what I mean. That would be the perfect setup for the Sinister Six.
If they introduced Venom that way, and then Venom 1 would have been more of them getting on that equal ground, anti-hero from villain.
Yeah.
That would make more sense, but they can't go back. He's already had the character development.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, you could very easily say that Doc Ock is mind controlling him.
Nah, I don't know with the symbiote. That with the dual conscious, it'd be really, really hard. I don't think there's ever been.
That could be part of the storyline, and that's how it's going to conclude. Is that Venom's going to actually become the anti-hero with Peter, and that's how they're going to take down the Sinister Six. Boom! I just wrote it. That's my prediction. You can follow it along.
I hope after they do the last, let's say they're going to try to do a trilogy with Venom. I hope the last episode ends with the suit going to Flash Thompson after he loses his legs and he becomes Agent Venom.
That would be cool.
Because he's already been with you know, Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock, and he's starting to be more sympathetic and more of a less controlled monster. He still wants to eat people, but only bad people.
Well, and people that don't give him chocolate.
Can I eat Mrs. Chan? No, you cannot eat Mrs. Chan.
What? Which is awesome that they did that too, because that's like actual scientific shit that the matter that's in brains, which is what symbiotes live off of, is also found in chocolate.
Yeah. It's all the chemical endorphins, that joy chemical.
So I think it's great that they did.
We had a deal.
So for the last two topics, it's going to talk about our favorite online retailer. Amazon has bought MGM for $9 billion. Now, for those of you that don't know, which is probably very few and far, MGM is the company behind James Bond.
And freaking everything, really. There's a lot of MGM.
Products. Oh, yeah.
In the early years.
And that bet MG, I bet, is a part of it, I think.
In your earlier years, MGM was the movie that started with The Lion's Roar.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was, pretty much everything before the digital age.
Oh, you want to hear something sad about The Lion Roar? Fun fact. That was an actual lion. The original was an actual lion that they were poking and prodding behind to get him to roar. And they don't even use a lion's roar. It's a tiger roar. Because tigers have... Or no, that was Lion King. Never mind. I was about to say, lions don't have an intimidating roar compared to tigers. Tigers is a more ferocious roar, surprisingly.
Yeah.
So, there's some interesting things with this deal. So, number one, that would mean that Amazon can put all of the Bond films onto Prime.
I'm kind of excited for that.
Yeah, they said that's going to be a bit of a tricky one because there's a lot of...
The licensing for Bond is out.
Licensing for Bond is pretty wild and pretty out there. So it's going to take them a little bit to procure the rights to
get the original all of James them. Bond movies are actually owned by Chubby Broccoli and his family. I mean, he's died like years and years, decades ago, but it's
but the family still holds.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like the licensing for James Bond is very tricky because it came at a time where they were doing what Marvel did with their comics, where it was like any studio could basically buy.
So what you're talking about is the deal with Eon Productions.
Yeah.
Now, Eon Productions, that deal is that you cannot premiere Bond films on Prime. So they can't do like the Disney route where they go, hey, look, you can pay $40 to watch this shitty Mulan movie.
Who did that? Who paid that money?
But acquiring MGM also got them Epix.
Now, on its own, Epix is a decent pickup. They have a lot of films.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'd be interested in is that Epix has a cable channel, too. They probably don't care too much about that cable company.
No, they don't.
But Epix has a pay-one deal with Paramount.
Which Paramount launched their own streaming service, Paramount Plus.
So for those of you that don't know, pay one is a fancy term that basically means Epix gets exclusive rights to Paramount movies after theaters. It means that films like Mission Impossible 7 and A Quiet Place 2 would be on Prime within a month and a half of them being released.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad deal, but you're like, oh, God, Amazon, stop buying shit.
Well, it says here in the article, it sounds like what Amazon's aiming for is, you know, people sign up for Amazon Prime to get all that shipping and stuff and all the deals. But then once they get what they get, they don't really see much of a point. But if they can use Amazon Prime Video to maybe hold on to people a little bit longer.
I mean, yeah, but we have Prime. It's became a natural bill we have to pay.
Just well, yeah. And Mrs. that's what they're aiming
online
for.
Online shopping, so.
And that's what they're aiming for.
Well, I mean, yeah, not only is it, you know, beautiful that you get the two-day shipping, you know, but for me, it's, I have a Fire TV. So I could just go onto my TV and go on to Prime and watch all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
same here.
You know, it's just that beautiful thing to just be able to roll with it, you know.
Yeah.
It's great.
But they're saying MGM's library, which has 4,000 films and 17,000 hours of television, they also get classic titles like Silence of the Lambs and Rocky.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all actually plays out.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see, like, how No Time to Die plays out. You know, to see, because that comes out in just a couple months.
Right.
Well, five, but four. It'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out and how quickly that goes to Prime, because that's supposed to be released on October 8th. Could it be on Prime before Christmas?
There's a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and how would that hurt sales? The other thing, too, though, is, you know, with Amazon taking this, they could also do it to where, okay, well, it's not going to be on Prime, but they will be able to do like they did with
Mulan and shit.
Mulan and all that, to where, okay, it's in theaters for 2 months, then you can buy it for 3 months on Prime, and then it'll go to the actual just regular Prime streaming.
Right.
Because you can buy movies on Amazon, digital movies.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they actually play that out.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, and this is something that I know that me and Brent are going to be trying to snag up some stuff. Okay, probably you too.
We'll see.
We know that Amazon Prime Day 2021 is happening.
Yes. Although they have not announced their official date yet.
Right.
It's still happening, yeah.
But they say there's a Bloomberg report puts Prime Day near the end of June.
Right.
Which we know June is just in a couple days.
Now, the thing is, normally Prime Days happens in July. So we'll see, you know, if it's going to be towards the end of June or if it's going to be actually pushed into July.
Right.
Now, yeah. Last year, that was October, and it was like only a week's notice. They're like, yeah, Prime Day's coming. We don't know when. We don't know when. Hey, next week. So we know that Prime Days is 2 days of huge savings and deep discounts on Amazon. So we're going to see, you know, how that plays out. We're going to see what all comes.
And even if you're not a Amazon person, other retailers also launched their sales just to stay competitive with Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the big sales events.
But just basically keep your eyes open for it. It's better than Cyber Tuesday.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday.
We'll let you guys know.
So they say Best Buy and Walmart are the two big ones that launch their big sales events.
Yeah. Right.
When Prime Day comes.
So we'll stay tuned for that, and we'll give you more information on that.
Oh, he hit him with the Sony line.
oh, dear. Something came up.
And for those of you that aren't Amazon Prime members already, which if you're not, you've been living under a rock, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial and still get the discounts if you wanted to.
Yeah, so just get the trial, cancel that shit before it charges your credit card, and buy shit.
And what you could actually do, if you really wanted to, you know, you could get the free trial to get the discounts, buy an Amazon gift card, and then get that discounted, and then pay with that for your year of subscription.
Or you take that Prime membership, you know, your 30-day trial, you link it to your Twitch account.
And you give it to us.
I'm kidding, but you got to do a little bit of shilling.
Right. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening to us ramble. Check out our socials in the descriptions. Hit the like, follow, subscribe, and share button. Remember, you can find us live every Monday, Wednesday, and most Fridays. Sometimes they're Saturdays. But Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Friday-ish.
Yeah, Friday-ish.
Yeah.
On Facebook and Twitch, you can find, like you did today, this podcast either in audio format or in video format on Wednesdays on YouTube and whatever your favorite podcast broadcast provider is. But again, thanks for watching. And as always, we'll catch you guys at the Warp Point.
Peace.